Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report Live. Glad to have you with us today. Very busy show. A lot of stuff going on out there today. Big Ten football media days up in Chicago. Coach Allen just finished his breakout session with a lot of good information on IU football for the upcoming season, of course. And we've got the July recruiting period. It's another slow day, at least for the college coaches. They can't be on the road, but they can rejoin the activities and the tournaments starting on Wednesday at 5 o'clock. So of course Archie and his full staff, you can bet, will be out on the road again. This is the final period coming up on Wednesday through Sunday that coaches can be out watching prospects that they are targeting across the country. As I mentioned yesterday, a lot of activity will take place in Las Vegas for this final period, but there are numerous tournaments where a lot of great players will be at over the next few days or so. And again, that all gets underway Wednesday at 5 o'clock. So a lot to get to today. We are in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Last night we were here for a quarterfinal game in the 10-year-old division of Little League Baseball. New Albany, a winner over West Terre Haute. That 10-year-old all-star team from New Albany has advanced on to a Wednesday semifinal game at 5 o'clock. We'll have that broadcast as well. If they win Wednesday at 5, they should find out their opponent later today. They'll advance to a Wednesday night 8 o'clock championship game, so perhaps a doubleheader for the New Albany 10-year-old All-Stars on Wednesday. We'll have both of those broadcasts from here in Fort Wayne. Once that wraps up, if New Albany, the 12-year-old team down in Indianapolis, continues to win, we'll drop down to Indianapolis for semifinals and their championship game on Thursday and Friday. Glad to have you with us. A lot to get to in this hour. Some great guests. We may even get some audio from Coach Allen in his breakout session up at Chicago for the Big Ten Media Days. Let's look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Once we get through some headlines, some news of the day, joining me in segment two will be Greg Doyle, sports columnist with the Indianapolis Star. Our segment with Greg each week is presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg will join us to talk about a number of different things. We'll talk some college football today, a little Romeo Langford, imagine that, and more when Greg joins us on the program, always presented by Coffee Crossing. Later in the program today, Mike Pegram is busy today up at the Big Ten Football Media Day. In place of him, we'll talk with Trevor Andershock of Indiana Basketball Source. Very timely opportunity for a conversation with Trevor as the third and final recruiting window starts tomorrow. We've talked a lot about IU targets this month, really on a daily basis, who Indiana's watching, who they've offered. There have been some scholarship offers, including one yesterday by the Hoosiers. We'll talk about it in a little bit. But obviously a lot of time spent on Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks and some of the very top players that Indiana is pursuing in this 2019 class, and we've got into some of the younger guys as well. With Trevor, when he joins us, I want to talk more about some of the local players here in Indiana. Kobe Barnes picked up a scholarship offer yesterday. We'll talk about that. He's had a solid month. Trey Coleman of Jeffersonville, no additional offers yet, but he's had a lot of opportunities playing with that Indiana Elite 16-year-old team that won the tournament out at the Adidas Summer Championships on Sunday. He's playing with a lot of big-time players, and he himself is rising up those ranks. So we'll talk about some of the local players first and then get into some other players of interest and how things have went for them this July when Trevor joins us. That's a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. The headlines are presented each day Day by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. I mentioned Big Ten Media Days. Coach Allen getting an opportunity for his breakout session just earlier this morning, actually finishing up not too long ago. No real earth-shattering news, but an opportunity to talk about, as Coach Allen does very passionately, the IU football program as they prepare for the upcoming 2018 season. So more on that a little bit later, but of course basketball recruiting, always news to pass along in the month of July. I mentioned scholarship offers earlier this week, I should say late last weekend, an offer out to the second 2020 player that Indiana is recruiting very seriously and offered a scholarship to. Yesterday, Terrence Clark received a scholarship offer, and he's in the 2021 class, which means he'll be a sophomore when school and high school basketball resume. So Indiana offers its first 2021 player. Terrence Clark is a small forward, 6'5", 180 pounds. Again, he's a member of the 2021 graduating class. He's got a long list of offers, to be quite honest, for a player that young from some high major schools. And of course, he's up east, so there's some of those schools already involved. Connecticut has offered, Georgetown has offered, Georgia Tech an offer, Rhode Island up that way, they've offered a scholarship, Syracuse and Wake Forest, his scholarship offers. Now Indiana jumps on board with a scholarship offer. They had been recruiting him. He had listed Indiana a few times as a school he was interested in, but now IU joins the list of schools that have offered him a scholarship. Also, Ohio State, they have not offered him a scholarship to date that I'm aware of, but they are someone he is interested in, and they are recruiting him as well. I've told you a lot that I think Archie Miller and Chris Holtman will do battle for a lot of recruits, and some of them will be from Indiana. Some of them will be from Ohio. Some of them will be from up east. That's the type of players that both of these coaches have visions and the capability to recruit. So Terrence Clark, another big name with that scholarship offer, especially given that he's the first in the 2021 class to get an official offer from the IU coaching staff, makes him a big name to track the rest of the summer and, of course, into his high school basketball season this coming winter. Speaking of scholarship offers, Anthony Leal of Bloomington South. He's had a great summer with his Bloomington South team in June, playing with Indiana Elite in July. He picked up a scholarship offer yesterday from Walter McCarty and the staff at Evansville. And again, I have full confidence in saying this. Leal is going to attract high major offers very soon. He's already got the interest of a lot of high major schools in the Midwest, but now getting some offers from mid-majors. Expect high major schools to follow. Would not surprise me down the road in the somewhat near future if Indiana doesn't heat up the recruitment of him as well. Speaking of scholarship offers as well, Kobe Barnes of Floyd Central, he'll be a senior when school starts in just a couple days for those at New Albany Floyd County Schools. Picked up another very good mid-major scholarship offer, Belmont University down in Tennessee, a great, solid mid-major program. They offered Kobe Barnes, so another offer for him to consider. Indiana State, a number of other offers for him here in the Indiana mid-majors. Belmont's a school you got to think about. They're very solid, a good basketball tradition, always very competitive in their conference, and so obviously a big pickup for Kobe Barnes, who's also had a solid month. We'll talk more about Kobe, his recruiting situation with Trevor Andershock a little bit later in the program. And Todd Sturgeon, the coach at Floyd Central, tweeted out earlier today that Kobe's been selected in this final window of evaluation for college coaches to play in the Adidas All-American Camp that's going to take place later this week just outside of Los Angeles. About 75 players nationwide were chosen from Adidas' circuit of travel teams, Coach Sturgeon. And I know Seth Greenberg of ESPN, very involved in Adidas grassroots camps and events, and he'll be on hand to help kind of lead the camp. So a great experience coming up for Kobe with that. Getting away from tournaments a little bit in this final period, you'll see some camps, and Kobe will be in a camp instead of a tournament with his team, and it's still an evaluation opportunity. Those camps are obviously able, sanctioned events for coaches to attend. Jeff Brazello of ESPN, a article about what you need to know about the next wave of freshman phenoms. And of course, as expected, joining a very star-studded list is IU freshman Romeo Langford. Here's what Brazello wrote about Romeo, quote, there might not have been a more important commitment in the 2018 class than Langford's picking the Hoosiers. He wasn't just another target for Archie Miller and the Hoosiers. Langford was Indiana's Mr. Basketball and had 4,000 people at his commitment ceremony. His high school games were packed with Indiana fans who waited in line for his autograph afterward. Miller made him a priority from day one after taking over for Tom Crean and was able to convince him to stay home. Langford is likely to be one of the top scoring freshmen in the country, as he will become the go-to guy on the perimeter immediately after averaging 35.5 points per game as a high school senior. With Langford's commitment, though, come heightened expectations in year two for Miller at Indiana. And again, that's Jeff Borzello writing about Romeo Langford as one of the top incoming freshmen in college basketball. Let's take a look at some of the Little League results. So many teams out of Southern Indiana and out of District 5, and this isn't just this summer, this is every year, do so well in representing our area. We've talked about my belief in Little League and community-based sports and the role that they play in helping maybe promote the high school athletics down the road for some of these young athletes. But the Floyd's Knobs 12-year-old softball team that won state, that won the district a few weeks ago, they are now playing in the region, and that they beat Kentucky yesterday by a score of 9-2. Central Region taking place in Zionsville, Indiana. So Floyd's Knobs, a lot of young girls on that team. They get the region play started with a 9-2 win over the team from Kentucky. I mentioned also the 10-year-olds last night from New Albany. They have made their way to a Wednesday semifinal. They're waiting to find out who their opponent will be with some games that need to be played out later today. But New Albany's 10-year-old baseball team in the semifinals of the state tournament in that division. New Albany's major team, that's 12-year-olds. They are 2-0 playing down in Indianapolis right now, and they have a big game later today against Franklin Township from Indianapolis, who won the state as 11-year-olds. That'll be a good barometer for the New Albany 12-year-old team. Again, it's a double elimination tournament. Even if they were to lose that game, they would stay alive in their quest for a state championship, but that is a big one as well. The HYR intermediate team, they went 1-1 yesterday at Central Region play. That's 50-70 mound bases up in Kalamazoo, Michigan. They are having a good outing as well. And at last report, the Jeff GRC Charlestown softball team in junior softball, they were continuing to do some good things in the Chicago area as well, playing in a region tournament there. So again, no surprise, but a lot of success coming out of this area. I should mention the New Albany 11-year-old all-star team. They are playing right now down in Evansville, playing a very good Forest Park team and heading into the bottom of the fifth inning. It's Forest Park ahead 4-2. That is an elimination game for New Albany in the 11-year-old division. So a lot of teams playing, a lot of success this summer. Again, no different from some of the other summers, but that's a look at some of our local Little Leaguers and how they are doing in various state and regional tournaments. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights, live bands on Saturday nights. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. That and more coming your way next on a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Tuesday show from Fort Wayne, Indiana, where we are doing some Little League State Tournament coverage of the New Albany 10-year-old All-Stars. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star with me in this segment. Greg joins us every Tuesday presented by Coffee Crossing. And Coffee Crossing would like to recommend you try the new breakfast and expanded lunch menus at their sister company, which is 410 Bakery and Cafe in downtown New Albany. Greg, I was talking this morning here in Fort Wayne with some of the parents that listened to the program. They said, ask Greg Doyle about his Little League baseball experiences. He's got such great stories and is such an interesting guest. Did he play Little League baseball? And if so, we want your best story.
Oh, wow. I got chills to you even ask me that question. oh, yeah, I played. And my dad coached almost every team I was ever on. In fact, my dad did coach every team I was ever on until I got to high school, which was really special, as you can imagine. And I played, and it's one of those things that gives you wings your whole life. Now, I've got the benefit of, and I don't mean to say this in any particular way, but I was really good, okay? And so I understand that everybody who plays Little League is getting really good. So you, whatever the memories I have aren't going to be everybody else's. But when you make those all-star teams and you, all you can hear is people clapping and stuff, and that sustains you for a long time. I know parents are cool, and they clap for all kids. So anyway, it's special, and I played, and I can still remember the first home run I ever hit in practice. I wasn't much of a slugger, but I hit one in practice, and that bat broke a little while later, and I saved it for 15 years. I saved that. I carried it around. I took it to college with me, and then at some point I realized, come on, Greg, let the bat go. But I remember the little Black Easton, Black Beauty Easton, 30-28, I think. No, 30-27, maybe.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Last couple of weeks we've talked some about the July recruiting period, which is all the shoe stuff and the AAU ball. There's something refreshing about community-based stuff when you're playing for a Little League All-Star team that is from New Albany, from Jeffersonville, from your township in Indianapolis, wherever you're at. Maybe the talent isn't across the board as good as some of the travel stuff. Maybe the college coaches down the road will never be at that type of baseball or basketball game, but there's something special when you're representing your community. It's got a high school feel to it, a community feel, and it's just different, and different in a good way.
Oh, gosh, yeah. We all need to feel a part of us, whatever us is. Now, sometimes the world takes too far and it gets between us and them, and that's not all that good sometimes, but it's important to feel part of something and us. And Little League is one of our first tastes of that, especially if you're on the All-Star team and you travel somewhere else and you realize this is us and we're 3 hours from home and we're playing them. And in this case, us versus them is okay. There's a man, and every community has one. I guarantee you have one there in New Albany, maybe more than one, but I guarantee you have one. When I tell the story, everybody there is going to know somebody there in New Albany that fits, or Jeffersonville somewhere. I went to Danville about a year ago. I think it was last summer. Wrote a story about a man in Danville. He's one of those guys that every Little League city has, that all he does is care about the kids. And he's been coaching for 25, 30 years. His kids don't even play anymore, and he just loves it. And every kid in town wants to play on his team. And at the end of the year, he lets all of his graduating players, and by that I mean the players that are aging out, they're not going to play next year, because he coaches a certain age, I don't know, 7 or 8, something like that. And the 8-year-olds, whoever they are, they get to, at the end of the year, have a post-game party where they all hit him in the face with a pie, and the pie is just harmless. It's just harmless. It's one of those really little light aluminum tins that don't weigh anything, and they fill it with whipped cream. I mean, it just couldn't be more harmless. Anyway, I went out and did a story on that man and just that experience. And I remember we had a guy, and my dad was the kind of coach folks like to play for, because he was funny and goofy and emotional and passionate and a lot like me, although probably funnier. I'm sure a lot funnier, but a lot like me. So really emotional, and kids like that stuff. But we had a man in our community. I'm not saying my dad is that guy at Danville. We had another guy. His name is Bebo Howell. And I remember them, obviously, 40 years later. I remember Bebo Howell was the guy lining the field and working for the Park City, Oxford Park Commission, Oxford, Mississippi. And the guy, and was also umpiring games. And I remember even one time, I remember this. So remember what you remember. Baseball teaches you a lot of lessons. I was at the plate and took a pitch, and it was, in my opinion, clearly a strike. And Bebo called it a ball. And I turned around to him and said, "Thanks, Bebo. I owe you one." And he got mad at me and said, I didn't do that for you. I saw that. I mean, like, don't imply that I'm rigging the game." And it was a good lesson. But, yeah, umpires can make mistakes even on the good side. But they dang sure aren't on your side or against you. So Bebo Howell was my guy. I wish I could remember the man's name in Danville. I'm so sorry I can't remember the coach's name in Danville. But it's a special story. If you're a Little League parent, you might want to read it. I can't tell you much more than Googling my name in Danville Little League.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, with some good Little League memories, Little League stories in the middle of this Little League state tournament season we're in here in the summer. Greg, big day for college football, at least from an IU and a Big Ten perspective. It's the Big Ten Media Day, taking place in Chicago. And this signals that we need to talk more football on this show. It's that time of year, even though it's a basketball crazy state. College football is just around the corner. Tom Allen, all the coaches with an opportunity to speak this morning at some breakout sessions.
Yeah, and this is the best time of year to be a college football fan in some cities because we don't know yet that our team stinks. Whoever our team is, I'm not saying IU football is going to stink. I have no idea, but this is the time of year where if you're a Colts fan, IU, Purdue, whoever you are, you can dream and hope, and so it's possible November's going to roll around, and whoever we care about, and again, at any level, high school, college, pro, that team could be 2-8, and we might realize, oh, this season's no fun, but right now it's fun because anything's possible. Now, having said all that, I can stop my blubbering and talk about what happened yesterday at Big Ten Media Day. It was yesterday, and I've done a lot of media days in my life, and so I don't really care a whole lot. I'm sorry to be jaded, but I've done a lot of them, and they're all talking. And on the one hand, it's great for fans because everything sounds great. On the other hand, if you're in the media and every coach gets up there and every coach sounds like they're going to go 9-2 or better, like you can't all do it. I mean, you can't all win the Big Ten, right? But I like it when something stupid happens. And by like it, I mean hate it. Yesterday, a fan, and he was a fan, a Michigan State fan, asked Jim Harbaugh, the Michigan coach, a 34-second question. And the question basically started with, no one's ever had more hype coming into the Big Ten than you. And I would argue that Urban Meyer came close, but anyways, splitting hairs. But no one's had more hype entering the Big Ten than you, and in 3 years your records are whatever they are, 8-5, 8-5, 8-4, something like that. And you're 0-5 against Ohio State and Michigan State, or 1-5, whatever. I mean, the guy, he basically listed the worst in his resume. There's a lot of good there, but let's go ahead and just hammer Jim Harbaugh because I'm a Michigan State fan. Let me just hammer him for 34 seconds and then drop the mic and let him try and squirm. That happened yesterday, and that makes everybody in the media look bad, although Michigan State fans, I'm sure, loved it. And the problem is, anybody dumb enough to ask that question, you know, you live in your little echo chamber on Twitter, Facebook, message boards, whatever, all you're going to hear is how brilliant you are. And you're probably going to ask that question again someday. It's the danger with politics today. Whatever side you're on, if all you read is liberal and you're liberal, you're going to think your side's never wrong. If all you read is conservative stuff and you're conservative, you're going to think your side's never wrong. Guess what? Both sides are wrong sometimes. I'm guessing Michigan State fans think that question yesterday. I don't want to lump them all together. Hopefully some of them are as horrified as I am. But it was a really bad look for Big Ten Media Day. And whoever that guy is, and I know his name actually, I looked him up. And when I say he's a Michigan State fan, I mean, literally, if you Google this dude's name, Dexter Crowley or something, Crowley Sullivan, something, you Google his name, and on the first page of results, there's a story written by him that says, as a Michigan State fan, comma, I mean, he is what he is, and he's asking that question to Jim Harbaugh, and it's just a damn shame.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Speaking of Big Ten Media Day, early thoughts on IU football, maybe early thoughts on Purdue football as well. What does it look like from Indiana and Big Ten this coming season, according to Greg Doyle?
Well, these are exciting times for both programs because we don't know yet that our coach stinks, and he might not ever stink. He might be really, really good. It's, you know, when Kevin Wilson's your coach and he doesn't stink, but Kevin Wilson was there, had a track record, like a Major League Baseball player with a baseball card. You look at the back of the card and you got a track record. You are what you are. Well, Kevin Wilson was what he was, and what he was one of the better coaches IU'd had in a long time. And he was going to go 6-5 every year, 6-6 every year, and lose a bowl game. And that's a lot better than they were 10 years ago, but at the same time, it gets a little bit old. Tom Allen's not there yet. We don't know what he is. We have no idea how good he's going to be or how not good he's going to be. I mean, he could be a disaster. He could be the next Urban Meyer. We don't know. Jeff Brohm, I think we have more of a feeling because Allen never coached ever, so we're all learning on the fly with him. I mean, he coached in high school. That didn't really count at this level. Brohm had coached at Western Kentucky, and 1 year into his Purdue thing, I think we kind of had an idea. The fact that Tennessee tried to hire him, he's really, really good. I think we know that. Tom Allen, we don't know yet, and that's exciting because we're all going to find out a lot more in year two. Year two is a huge year. Just like for college players, they say the most improvement you're ever going to make is freshman and sophomore year because you adjusted, you hit the weight room, all that stuff. You're going to get better as a senior, but the jump you make from freshman to sophomore is the biggest jump you're ever going to make. I believe that's probably true in coaching too.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, this segment each week presented by Coffee Crossing. Let's finish the segment, Greg, with a familiar subject for both of us. I read an article this morning, I think it was out the last day or two, from Jeff Borzello at ESPN.com. It talks about impact freshmen, and there have been a lot of stories this time of year in the summer trying to get through the offseason of college basketball about projections and predictions and maybe what freshmen have the best opportunity to be big scorers and big contributors. And Romeo Langford has been and I'm sure will be on every one of those lists and stories written between now and the start of the college basketball season. You know, expectations for him at a high for next year. He's a kid that has operated under pressure that most high school kids never have to experience ever. I'm sure that this is just another thing for Romeo Langford, with stories about him being perhaps a big-time scorer as a freshman leading IU back to prominence, perhaps.
Oh, absolutely. And it's kind of like what I was saying with Tom Allen and Jeff Brohm, is we're going to find out exactly what he is this year. There will be no sophomore year, I don't think. And I even say I don't think just because there are times where there are players come in, and I'm not about to rain on Romeo's parade. I'm just saying this does happen. You know, Wayne Seldon at Kansas did happen. Perry Ellis at Kansas, just named, you know, two, did happen. Guys do go to school with all kinds of hype, and they're going to be good, but they're just not quite ready. It does happen. I don't think it's going to happen to Romeo. A lot of freshmen become Kevin Durant, you know, and average 28 and 10 and turn pro. And that you know, Romeo could be a 20. It wouldn't surprise me at all if Romeo was a 25 and 3 guy and 3 assists. Wouldn't surprise me any. But we're going to find out. But it's way too late. The horse is out of the barn and all that stuff. We're never going to trample down our expectations for Romeo. But it's a huge jump from what he's about to make, and I think he's going to be great. But it's not a sure thing, only because history says it's not a sure thing. But, man, if I had to bet a lot of money, is he going to be a sure thing? I'd bet a lot of money he is, yeah. And, by the way, real quick about Romeo, I got a Facebook message from just a Facebook friend of mine who I've never met, but just a friend, and is a photo of Romeo at some event somewhere, and I want to say Robert Johnson was there, because I kind of skimmed over most of it except for the part about Romeo, but there's a bunch of IU players there, and Romeo's one of them, and then the court cleared wherever this was. The court, and this was a couple of days ago, the court cleared, and the kids are gone, and whoever's there is gone, and it's just Romeo on a court. And Romeo is standing there all by himself on a basketball court. And this fan reader who sent me this note said it was just really cool to watch Romeo, and just to wonder to myself, how many times in the last 10 years and in the next 10 years will Romeo Langford ever be completely alone on a basketball court, at peace, bothered by nobody? And, of course, the guy then sent me a selfie he took with Romeo, which means he bothered him right away. But anyway, kind of a neat little moment. And he, by the way, he said that Romeo had that same little shy half smile. And I don't know if he took that because that's how I describe it in my stories, or if that's just because it's so dang obvious. It's a shy half smile, but it's a beautiful half smile I can picture right now.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Greg, some great Little League baseball going on, the 12-year-old state tournament in Indianapolis. The Great Lakes follows that. Maybe we can get a column coming soon from there when you put your twist on it. I know it'll be good if it happens.
Yeah, pound sign column coming. You've seen that before. Maybe so.
Hashtag. I'm not worried about that yet. Hashtag, Greg.
Oh, hashtag. I said pound. Oh, pound is what you do on a phone. Nobody does that anymore. Hashtag, right. Hash brown. Whatever. Close enough.
Greg Doyle, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, thank you.
All right, Matt. Thanks. Bye.
All right, we'll head to a commercial break. Before we go, I just got an update. The New Albany 11-year-old All-Stars, they're playing in a state semifinal game right now down in Evansville. They were down 4-2 headed into the top of the sixth inning, which sixth inning is regulation in that level of Little League baseball. They now lead 5-4, a couple big doubles from the team, and they are ahead by one run. They still have two runners on with two outs in the top of the sixth inning. Forest Park will get the opportunity, obviously, to come back in the bottom of the inning and tie it up, or perhaps win it in a walk-off situation. But New Albany, the 11-year-old All-Stars, really battling. They've come back to take the lead in the top of the sixth inning over Forest Park. Forest Park, the team that sent New Albany to the loser side of the bracket with a loss earlier this week. So a big game. Winner goes to the 11-year-old state championship to be played later this afternoon in Evansville. We'll keep you posted as we go on with the final outcome of that game. To a commercial break we go. We'll come back and talk July recruiting with Trevor Andershock of Indiana Basketball Source. A lot about IU guys so far this month. I want to talk to Trevor, at least to start off, about some of our local players. We've got some guys here in the area that have used July to their benefit as well, and we'll talk about that next here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back here on this Tuesday edition of the program. We're tracking in the background here the 11-year-old state tournament for Little League Baseball. New Albany with a miraculous comeback. They lead 5-4 in the bottom of the sixth inning, which is the final inning of regulation. Forest Park is batting. They have one runner on first with one out. We'll keep you posted. Some exciting Little League Baseball today for this 11-year-old team. They're trying to win this semifinal and get to the state championship game, which will take place later today. We're joined now by Trevor Andershock of Indiana Basketball Source. Trevor is an outstanding resource for Indiana high school basketball and its top players, offers a college recruiting service to many, many college coaches from the state, from the Midwest and beyond. And he joins us today to talk about what's went on this month, maybe from a more local perspective than just IU recruiting, but a lot of good players in the state, a lot of good players in Southern Indiana, and a lot of players have been able to use this month to increase their standing for whatever level of college basketball that they may be able to play down the road. Trevor, thanks. I know it's been a crazy month, and you're one of those guys. I put you and Jeff Rabjohns in about the same category. I'm envious. You get to watch a lot of games, hit the road, and see a lot of different players, teams, and, of course, talk to the coaches.
Yeah, definitely. Me and Jeff, we actually made a little road trip last week through Milwaukee and Grand Rapids together, so we definitely get to see a lot of the talent around the Midwest, especially, and talking to the college coaches during this live period really gives you insight to what they're looking for, what they're thinking with recruits, and, you know, just getting a great feel for these upcoming seniors mainly and then the younger class as well. Like you said, got to see a few guys around your area that have been doing really well this month. The guy that sticks out is Kobe Barnes from Floyd Central. He had a great perspective. I was talking to him a few weeks ago. He started off the travel season really well. He thought he was going to be able to coast through and put up great numbers, but then realized, you know, when he got onto the Adidas Gauntlet Series that he couldn't coast, and he recognized that his motor needed to increase. He did exactly that, and now he's putting up great numbers for Indiana Elite 2019. And it culminated into being invited to Adidas All-American Camp this week out in L.A. So obviously he's been doing really well.
Trevor Andershock of Indiana Basketball Source, our guest. So Kobe picks up an offer from Belmont after his recent play. You mentioned the Adidas camp opportunity out west. That's a group of the very best from the Adidas circuit of travel teams, and that's open for college coaches. So it's kind of a different setting than what Kobe going through with his traditional travel team week in and week out in the spring and during these last couple weeks when coaches could be on the road, more of a camp setting. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, in those camp settings, you get to fill a different role than your normal team, even high school team, travel team. You kind of have to adjust on the fly more in camp settings. You got to figure out who's going to be the main scorer, who's going to be the main ball handler, those type of situations. So obviously there's drawbacks to that, but it also allows you to see how these guys really think about the game. How do they find a way to impact the game on a regular basis, even with new teammates? And I'm sure Kobe is doing that right now. Like you said, Belmont offered him this week. They've always recruited Indiana really hard, and it seems like, you know, those high majors have been keeping in contact with Kobe Barnes, the Butlers, the Michigans. Those guys have been recruiting them the hardest out of the major conferences, but Indiana State is really pushing hard to get a commitment here soon from Kobe.
Trevor Andershock of Indiana Basketball Source, our guest, talking about some of the Southern Indiana players that have been very busy this month in their travels. Good update on Kobe Barnes. I want to also talk about Trey Coleman in the 2020 class of Jeffersonville. Trey has a scholarship offer from Nebraska. He got his first offer at the end of this July month a year ago from New Orleans, and he's had all kinds of opportunities to be seen this month. His Indiana Elites team won the Adidas Summer Championships out on the West Coast last period, getting seen by all kinds of coaches from all different parts of the country. Being on a team with that number of high major players, that type of talent can be really beneficial for Trey and his recruiting as he moves forward.
Yeah, that team is really good. You know, you have Trey along with Anthony Leal from Bloomington South, Trey Galloway from Culver Academy. So that group is really attracting all the Big Ten schools, you know, Big East schools, those type of coaches each game. Along with, you know, on the Adidas Gauntlet, you're playing against high major kids that if you're playing against the East Coast team, you're going to attract those ACC schools. And it's definitely a great opportunity for Trey. I've been really impressed with Trey's ability to take contact and really dish it out. You don't see high school players embrace contact the way Trey Coleman does. He's made really good strides with his perimeter game, increased his ability to make plays off the dribble in traffic, his shots coming along. I mean, I really like the upside of Trey Coleman here going into the next couple of years of his high school career.
Trevor Andershock joining us of Indiana Basketball Source. You can follow Trevor. He's all over the place when it comes to tracking these prospects at INBBallSource. Again, Trevor Andershock with Indiana Basketball Source. And just going final, New Albany has won 5-4 over Forest Park in that 11-year-old state tournament semifinal. They will play for a state championship later today. Heck of a comeback by the New Albany 11-year-old All-Stars. Trevor, looking at Southern Indiana as a whole, as we step outside of the immediate area where we're located, it's really a good time. You look at Evansville and Southwestern Indiana, a number of prospects that are young but beginning to get noticed by college coaches. And I think the future of basketball in the southern half of the state from Bloomington down looks really good over the next 2, 3, 4 seasons.
Yeah, this 2021 class, the sophomores to be here, is really strong, especially in Southern Indiana. You have Christian Lander out of Fort Wayne Wrights, a point guard that's really come on this spring and summer, creative guy that creates off the dribble and then can hit threes as well. He's one of the top players in the class. Then you have guys like Colson Montgomery at Southridge, Kurt Hoff at Forest Park. I mean, that whole class is really, really good, especially in Southern Indiana. Even guys like Blake Sisley at Heritage Hills, Drew Carlton at Wrights as well. I mean, that is a loaded class of 2021, especially for Southern Indiana. So I love watching those guys play. A lot of those guys are on the EG10 team, also on the Adidas circuit, and they've had a great summer. Really, really fun group to watch, and really excited about their potential, not just as high school players, but even college prospects as well. So, yeah, Southern Indiana is really loaded in this in these years to come.
Anthony Leal is another player I had on my list to mention today. Of course, at Bloomington South, one of the young players in Indiana that is very intriguing. Got a scholarship offer yesterday from Evansville. Would have to think that many, many more mid-majors and some high majors possibly close to getting more involved, maybe extending a scholarship offer. He's right there in the backyard of IU and Archie Miller in Bloomington. What type of ceiling do you think he has? Could he? I know obviously Indiana knows who he is, and obviously Indiana's recruiting him. Do you think he could develop into a Big Ten-type player? Does he have that type of ability and body to do so here maybe and start drawing those type of offers very soon?
Yeah, I definitely do. Anthony's been one of the best, you know, overall production guards in this class so far this spring and summer. Xavier offered him a while back. And like you said, Indiana is definitely recruiting them hard, watching them. And with him in Bloomington, a lot of those other high major schools are kind of waiting to see, is Indiana going to offer them? Are we going to waste our time if we step in there and try to recruit them? So they're kind of taking a wait-and-see approach. But Leal at 6'3", 6'4", has developed into a great shooter, really tough off the dribble as well. He likes to take contact, score through guys, or get to the free throw line on a consistent basis. So, yeah, I think Leal definitely has a chance to play at that level. I think a lot of those schools are just kind of waiting to see, make sure they're not going to waste their time recruiting a kid that's just going to end up going to Indiana. So they're going to wait and see how that develops with the Indiana staff. But I don't think there's any doubt that he ends up being, you know, a Big Ten, Big East caliber player down the road.
Trevor Andershock of Indiana Basketball Source, my guest. We're talking about the July recruiting period. Got to talk to you about Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks, obviously in the 2019 class. They are the top two guys in the state. And, of course, Indiana in a big battle for those two. I don't think they've missed their games this month, even back in the spring, for those evaluation opportunities as well. Head coach and assistant coach, sometime multiple coaches in attendance to watch that Indy Heat team that they both play for in attendance for those games. Progress by those guys this month? What have you seen from those guys this month? And any feel as they enter perhaps the final months in their recruitment?
Yeah, it seems like Trace has really been dominant on the defensive end. I saw him last week up in Grand Rapids, and any time a guy would get into a lane, it seemed like Trace was there to wipe away the opportunity and either smack it off the backboard, challenge a shot, or, you know, just get the rebound, kick it out, and go. So, I mean, I think he's made huge strides the last year, 18 months, as not just a offensive guy scoring around the rim, but his defense has really improved as well. Definitely a big-time battle for Trace. Indiana, obviously, right there. A lot of people think he's leaning that way, but he's kind of brushed that aside and said he's still pretty open. Michigan State's been recruiting him hard throughout the process. So he's been talking about pushing back his decision date, so we'll have to see how close he is to actually making a decision. Then Keon, he's kind of in that same boat. He has no plans to commit early. Seems like he's going to take a lot of his official visits before making a decision. So Keon is definitely trending towards a spring commitment, although he hasn't officially said that yet, but all the signs are pointing to that. Obviously, if Indiana could get one or both of those guys on the back of getting Romeo, I mean, that would be huge for the program going forward. That would just be great to really be able to get any in-state guy you want when you're getting those top guys year in and year out.
Trevor, what do you make of those comments? And I think it was a story where his father, Trace's father, was quoted that, Indiana isn't a done deal, essentially, and I'm paraphrasing. And it was about North Carolina entering his recruitment and Coach Williams calling Trace to let him know that UNC was interested. What do you make of those comments? Is that, and I know it's hard to know for sure, but is that a player's father saying, hey, we're open? We don't let the Indiana perception stop you from at least recruiting my son and making contact? Or do you think maybe there is a little cause for concern there from IU fans to say, wait a second, a lot of good momentum with Romeo, a lot of good things surrounding the IU program right now. Why do you want the other calls?
Yeah, I don't think it's quite time to be concerned too much. I think it's just one of those things where they want to make sure they see every opportunity that is available to them. If it's a North Carolina, a Duke, a Kansas, Kentucky, whoever, I mean, they just want to keep those doors open for now. I still think Indiana is in a great position to get Trace, so I wouldn't be too concerned yet. If it gets real late, goes to the spring, and he's still talking about those other schools, then I would start getting concerned. But right now, I see Indiana still having a leg up on the competition, so I wouldn't be too concerned about that.
Trevor Andershock of Indiana Basketball Source, my guest. I always like to look at the July period and see someone that really has helped themselves. Last year, I don't think there was any question, Aaron Henry, who was at Indianapolis, Ben Davis, and I've mentioned this before here, he had an unbelievable July. He had some interest. He had some mid-major offers. He may have even been flirting with some high-major schools, but by the end of the month, he had full attention of a lot of Big Ten schools and, of course, ended up going to Michigan State. Who's been that player from Indiana, whether it's a name that has IU ties or Southern Indiana ties or not? Who's been a name or two of Indiana players that have really used this two windows so far, 10 days for coaches to evaluate, to really help their recruiting?
Yeah, nobody's gone quite to the level that Aaron did last year, going from those mid-majors to having pretty much the whole Big Ten offer him. But a guy that's really seen his recruitment jump this month is DeJuan Jones, Indiana junior all-star from Ben Davis. He's gone from D2 and football offers to having multiple MAC offers. Bowling Green, Ball State, Kent State have all offered him. If you've seen him play, he's fun to watch. He's about 6'7", 350 in the lane, just a wide body that creates space and has great hands, great feet. If he could get into a little bit better conditioning, I think his game would really take off. He's seen his recruitment jump a ton. Another guy, he came off the bench for Lawrence Central last year, Jacob Laravia. He's going to be a senior. I think he scored about 5 points a game for him. Had a great spring. Then a whole bunch of D2s offered him here in July with Southern Indiana, Indianapolis, Hillsdale. And now even IUPUI's offered him, and he's had about 10 or 15 D1 coaches at every game in July here. So he could be another guy that sees a bunch of D1s offer him here in the last period and going into the fall. Not many people would have seen that coming, especially after his junior year where he only played a small role for Lawrence Central. Those guys are the main guys who made a big jump. And then obviously Brandon Newman, he had those offers from Indiana and Purdue, but I think he's taken his game to a new level as well. He's shooting the ball at an elite level right now. He's starting to see the ACC schools get involved. I'm going to be real interested to see how his recruitment changes by going to Mount Verde Academy down in Florida. He played at Valpo his first 3 years of high school. So we'll have to track that recruitment from afar during the high school season, but he's been absolutely great in July here.
Trevor Andershock, Indiana Basketball Source, my guest. It's a grind. I don't care if you're out there covering it from a meeting and a media and a recruiting perspective as you are, or if you're a head coach or an assistant coach from a NAIA school all the way up to IU, one of the biggest D1 programs out there. No question that July and the 3 5-day windows, watching games basically from 8 a.m. until 11 p.m. or after at night, it's a real grind. July is a tough month for players, coaches, and all involved.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And you bringing that up, I'm going to be interested. I'm going out to Las Vegas this week, and I'm going to be interested to see how those players that have been on the road the whole time, like the Indiana Elite teams that went from New York to L.A., and stayed out there for now Las Vegas. How are those kids going to handle that, being away from home for basically 3 weeks? I mean, you can love basketball and still get tired of being away from home for that long a time. So it's a real mental test for these high school kids to see how engaged they can be and how focused they can stay for 3 weeks. And then obviously you have the college coaches driving all over the place. You know, it's not unusual for a college coach to drive 6 hours, you know, 3 or 4 times in this, you know, short windows of 5 days to see different players in different tournaments. So those coaches are starting to get worn down. You could always see coaches kind of drinking that extra coffee to stay focused during the tournaments. But, yeah, like you said, it can be a grind, and you really have to stay focused if you're going to be productive in this last week of July.
As far as IU targets and where IU coaches Archie Miller and his assistants may be, this period still spread out. Nothing will be as good as the first 5 day window with the Peach Jam and the Under Armour in Atlanta and Adidas in New York. There's a number of things going on in this third window, but in the middle, last period was really spread out. Where could we expect to see Archie Miller and some of his coaches at this next and final period of the month?
Yeah, I think the main three will be Las Vegas, because there's about 8 tournaments going on out there, including the Under Armour and Las Vegas Classic and Fab 48. They'll definitely be there. They'll be down in Orlando for the AAU Super Showcase and the national event there. And then they'll be up in Fort Wayne to see Keon and Trace Jackson Davis play up at Spieth Fieldhouse in Fort Wayne. So I believe they'll spend most of their time at those three locations this week, obviously jumping around each day and seeing as many prospects as they can. But those main three will be their focus this week.
Trevor Andershock at INBballSource on Twitter, a great person to follow for updates on all levels of college prospects coming out of the Hoosier State. Also, INBasketballSource.com. Trevor, enjoy the final 5-day window coming up, then maybe you can get a little rest and write about all of it in August, and I'm sure we'll talk with you then as well. Thanks so much for the chat and all the great information.
Thanks for having me on. I enjoyed it, Matt.
All right, Trevor Andershock, Indiana basketball source, one of the good guys in Indiana basketball, great promotion of the players, and a guy that started a service, had a vision, and now has all kind of subscribers, all different levels of coaches, not just from Indiana, but the Midwest, and I'm sure now even across the country, rely on Trevor for a lot of great information on players in our state. That just about does it for this Tuesday edition of the program. Again, congratulations to the New Albany 11-year-old All-Stars. They come from behind to win the semifinal against Forest Park, who beat them earlier in the tournament. They will play for an 11-year-old Little League Baseball state championship later today down at Highland Little League in Evansville. We'll be tracking that one from afar. And don't forget, I'm in Fort Wayne. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 o'clock for the Hoosier Report at 11 a.m. And then tomorrow night, the potential for two Little League games here on the Big X. We know for sure at 5 o'clock tomorrow night, New Albany's 10-year-old team will play in a semifinal game. If they win that one, they'll play for a championship in 10-year-old baseball tomorrow at 8 o'clock. So two potential games coming your way tomorrow here on the Big X. Then we'll go to Indianapolis. That's where the 12-year-old, the major division, the division that advances all the way to Williamsport if you win your state and regional tournament, will follow New Albany in the semifinals Thursday, the championship Friday, if they continue to advance. So a lot of good Little League action going on, and we always enjoy calling the games, giving these Little Leaguers some coverage. Thanks for being with us today. That will wrap up the program. Again, I'll be back tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Joining me on Wednesday will be Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. We'll also be joined by Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune. He will be with us as well. And, of course, you can always podcast the show. If you miss a edition of the Hoosier Report, a full show, a specific segment, whatever it may be, you can log on to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report, or you can search for us on Apple in the Apple Podcast. That does it for today. Have a great day. Matt Dennison here on the Hoosier Report.